I'll be a friend to Jesus, my life for Him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus until my years shall end. Amen. First of all, keeping the main thing, thanking God for Jesus Christ. Thanking God for waking us up this morning. Thanking God for giving us another chance, another opportunity to come out and worship Him in spirit and in truth together again. Amen. Amen. And I want to say happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day to the grandfathers. Happy Father's Day to the great-grandfathers. And if it's any great-great-great-grandfathers, happy Father's Day. Amen. 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 My subject today is taken from the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verses number 6. Better get this, I can't. It ain't like it used to be. Oh my goodness, it ain't like it used to be. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verses 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And my title today is What a Godly Daddy Do. I know that don't sound right, but that's just Kenneth Patterson, you know. You know, that's just me. What a Godly Daddy Do. Now, we have some godly daddies in this world. We have some good daddies in this world. We're overpopulated with bad daddies. And sure enough, we're overpopulated with ugly daddies. And I know a sister or two said, I want to hear about them ugly daddies today. Amen? Because we do have some ugly daddies. A kid, the teacher was teaching a class, and she was teaching arithmetic. And she asked a question. She said, if I gave you a dollar, no, she said it like this. She said, if you had a dollar and your daddy gave you another dollar, how many dollars would you have? Well, little Johnny raised his hand and said, I won't have no dollars. She said, I'm afraid you don't understand my question. She said, if you had a dollar, And your daddy gave you another dollar, how many dollars would you have? Little Johnny said, I won't have no dollars. Teacher said, well, it seemed to me that you don't know your arithmetic. Little Johnny said, it seemed to me like you don't know my daddy. What a godly daddy do. Before I get to what a godly daddy do and what we as godly daddies do, I just would like to explain that a godly daddy is a man. Amen?
Yes.
First things first, a godly daddy is a man and not a woman. Amen?
Yes.
Now, I understand that some women are without a husband and they do double work. But they're still a woman. Are you with me? And a man is a man. So a godly daddy should be a man, first place. A godly daddy believes in the Father God, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. A godly father will trust and obey. A godly father will live a godly life. A godly father will always do godly things. A godly father will love his children. A godly father will fight for his children. A godly father will not just tell his children to go to church, but a godly father would go to church with his children.
Amen.
He would actually take his children to church. A godly father will not lie for his children. He will not lie on his children. He will not lie with his children. And he will not lie to his children. That's a godly father. Amen? A godly father will not provoke his children to wrath, but bring them up in the nature and admonition of the Lord. You know, that means that's a serious thing, because some fathers, they do things to their children, and it's hard for them to forgive their fathers. Amen? And this is what the book is saying. Be careful not to bring them to that kind of wrath. You see, some fathers, they abuse their children physically, and some fathers abuse their children sexually. Amen? And these kids, they just can't come around to forgiving their fathers, right? And the book is telling us that when this happens, right, there's another passage that says, if you can't forgive, then you won't be forgiven. So that's a curse that a father would put on their children when they can't forgive their father, amen, for what he has done to them. Amen? So godly fathers will not provoke their children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. NIV says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Teach them. Teach them.
Amen.
A godly father will train up his child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Now, you see, in the original context of this, it's not a promise, but it's a warning. Are you with me? It's not a promise, it's a warning. In the original context of this, it's a warning. It says that warning parents that if they allow their children to have their own way, they will not depart from that foolishness when they are older. That's what it's actually saying. Amen? That's what it's actually saying. And we know that a child left to himself would bring his parents shame. You see, if you just put that child in a room and say, go for it, are you with me? Then that's what they're going to do. Are you with me? And then if you ask them, what's one and one? Why are you asking me? Don't you know? Amen? But a godly father, a godly father wouldn't want to lose his children that way. A godly father would not abuse his children in any way, in any form, any manner. A godly daddy will not walk his son down the aisle and give his hand to another man. Could I say that again? Because I didn't hear too many, you know, somebody should say amen. Everybody should have jumped up. Amen. A godly father, amen, will not walk down an aisle and give his son's hand to another man.
Amen.
Amen. A godly father is not going to do that. A godly father would not walk down the aisle and give his daughter's hand to another woman. That's a godly father. Amen? And we need more, because we have very few. You know? We're overpopulated with bad daddies. Overpopulated with ugly daddies. And I know you sisters can't wait till I get to that ugly daddy. But I'm coming. It may sound like a godly daddy never falls, but they do. Some of us were godly daddies who fell. Some of us were fallen and became godly daddies. Amen? So when we become godly daddies, we realize that we do err. We slip up and we fall sometimes. But a godly daddy will get back up. Amen? Because a godly daddy just don't like being fallen. Amen? He would get back up. And if a man should sound like this and say he never fall, that man lies. He lies. And that lie is because of pride. You see, some fathers, they fall, right? You know, huh? They fall, but they got a good excuse, you know. But get back up. The Bible says, be careful who think he standeth lest he fall. And because of pride, he makes it hard for himself to get back up. Amen? That pride is something else, you know. Pride is something else. It says, after pride comes shame, you know. And that shame is heavy on a prideful man. But the godly daddy falls. He knows how to get back up. And that's through, and how he gets back up is through Jesus Christ, who strengthened him. In the Bible, there are some examples of godly fathers who fell and got back up. Amen. You see, we know of some. We know of Noah. Amen. Noah fell to that wine. Amen. He got intoxicated with that wine. And you know, I don't know how many of you've been drunk before, but you get out there being drunk and the next day you don't know where you at. You don't know why you're there. Are you with me? You know, I might be talking to some, but I know some of you ain't never had it, you know, wine or nothing to your lips. I got that. But some of us have, you know. And you woke up that next morning, you say, where am I? What am I doing here? Are you with me? Last night I know I had $5 in my pocket, now I ain't got it. Amen? And that's what wine would do. And Noah, he fell to that. Another man. And now we're coming into the ugliness now. Amen? Your sisters ready for this?
Amen.
Y'all ready? All right. Into the ugliness. King David. A man after God's own heart. But King David does something ugly. Amen? And if you read it in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, it'll tell you some things about David. He does some ugly things. Now, David, he was supposed to, because all kings are supposed to be out with his men fighting. And David, he played hooky one day. And he got up on this roof, and he looked down, and he saw Bathsheba, and he had to have her. Are you with me? He's a daddy. He's a father. He's a husband. He got a wife. Are you with me? But he had to have her. And it says that he sent for her, and he got her. And they were together, and it said that she got pregnant. Are you with me? And it must have went like this. Well, I thought you was, you know, I thought you was on birth control, you know. Well, she wasn't on nothing. Amen. But she got pregnant. Now David, pride, he said, you know, how am I gonna get out of this? The people can't know that you know, and because I know she is. Uriah's wife. She's Uriah's. How am I going to get out of this? So he started demising a plan, a devilish plan, an ugly plan. Ugly? Hello? Ugly? He demised an ugly plan to get out of this. So he said that. He said, he called for Uriah. He said, come. He said, get Uriah off the battlefield and let him come to my house. And he said, Uriah, I want you to go home, Are you with me? I want you to go home and be with your wife. So if Uriah had went home and been with his wife, then it could have been that, well, that's, amen? It's Uriah, not David. But somehow Uriah didn't want to go. Now David said, well, you know, I got to make this man get out of here because he got to go and sleep with his wife now because I'm the king and I can't even, you know, I can't go through this. But you put yourself through that, David. But anyway, he got Uriah fed good and drunk. Are you with me? Got him drunk, right? He figured when Uriah got through all of this, all that part in, right, that he would go. But it said that Uriah still won't go. Amen? You know the story. I'm just kind of like breathing through it. So he won't go. So now he got to devise another plan because he's a king and he can't be embarrassed like this. Are you with me? So he devised a plan that Uriah should go out and fight in the front battle. Now, in the front battle, that means, you know, because it's, I believe it was like a wall, right? That they would have to fight, you know, these folks. And they would throw down rocks, maybe throw tar, hot water, tar, arrows, right? And it was it was more deadly to be up close. So David had his captain to send Uriah out in front to die. That's ugly. Amen? Right? That's ugly now, right? Amen. And Uriah did die. And David had to answer for that. Amen? He had to answer for that. Now we got another Lot. You remember Lot?
Yeah.
Remember? Amen. Turn with me to Genesis, the 19th chapter. You remember Lot, but you remember some good things about Lot, right? But Lot did some other things too. Now, amen. Yes, he did. But it, just like David, right? David got it together. He repented. A good daddy turned bad, but he repented. Amen. He repented of his sin. And Lot, look what he done. Pay attention to this real, real closely now. Chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the city, in the street all night. And he said, he pressed them upon them greatly, and they returned unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, men of the city, oh, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, this is Sodom, right? Amen. There's a lot of happenings going on in Sodom. Are you with me? A lot of ugly stuff. Amen. All right. Now, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the men from every quarter. Now, these men were supposedly gay. Are you with me? They were just doing any kind of stuff in Sodom. All, it wasn't just that, but it was some other stuff too, but that was in the mix. Okay? Verse 5, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that they may know, that we may know them. Now, these two men are supposed to be angels, right? But look, And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door behind him, because he had to talk to these people. Now look what he says, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now, verse 8, are y'all listening? Please listen. Please listen to this. Behold, now, I have two daughters. This is Lot now, all right? The men wanted the angels, those two that went in. But Lot said, you can't have them, right? But look who Lot said you could have. I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Amen? Now, this daddy, he gonna give up his daughters, two virgin daughters, amen, to more than one man. Are you with me? They're virgins now, right? And he gonna tell the men to do whatever y'all want to them, but don't touch these two men. And I know there's a reason why he did it. I got that. All right? But look what he done. That's an ugly daddy, isn't it? That's an ugly. Are you with me? Your daughters, you're going to just throw your daughters out there like that. You know? And tell the men to do whatever you want to do. How many of you or whatever. Are you with me? That's what Lot did. He did something ugly. But Lot, he got himself together. Amen? He got himself together. Sometimes we fall, you know, but we get back up. We don't stay down. We get back up. Are you with me? We don't stay falling. We get back up. You know, one said that he was down to the bottom of the barrel. He said he was on his knees. And he said, since he was on his knees, he started praying. Amen? Because you can't get no lower than that. Yeah. And since he was down on his knees, he started praying. And he prayed, and he got up. And he started climbing back up the ladder. Are you with me? But godly daddies are daddies that teach their children. They want their children to become the best they can be. A good godly daddy was the prodigal son's daddy. You remember that story, right? The son, there was two sons, and one of the sons, the younger son, said, you know, I've been reading these magazines about the far country. I've heard some about the far country. It's just interesting. It gets me. I just need to know more about it, right? And I wanna get out there and see what's happening in the far country. Daddy, give me my money so I can go. Daddy gave it to him. Son went out there and he met some people. And one of them name was Snake. Amen. You know they got them names. You know, one of them name was Snake. One of them name was Bear. And they had a sister named Dee Dee. Dee Dee had a dog named Charlie, and Charlie eat nothing but meat, red meat. So this boy, he went out there, he met these people, all right? And he met Snake. Could you imagine your daughter coming home and you know, she said, Mommy, Daddy, I met a boy. And you know, you get interested, you know, you said, well, what kind of boy is he and what's his name? Well, his name is Snake. Okay. All right. Right? Can you imagine that? Now, and snake and the rest of it, they know how to be your best friend. They know exactly what a friend is as long as you got that money coming. Are you with me? They know exactly how to be your best friend. And that boy, he went out there and he started spending. He started spending and throwing away. And Dee Dee was in the mix. She was a good looker too. And you know, he was just having a good time out in that far country. Now one thing I believe about, even though it's speaking about the Jews where they had left and God, you know, wanted them to come back, but I'm believing that it's showing us a picture of a daddy who probably was out in the far country at one time. So he know about the far country. Are you with me? You know, some of us know about the far country, don't we? Uh-huh. Amen. You know, I know when you get home, you're going to get in trouble. You're going to blame it on Brother Patterson. What do you know about far country? You know, I know you know, Brother Patterson, right? But some of us have been out in that far country. Are you with me? And this boy, he just messed up. He spent all his money having a good time. He had a good time. And he started thinking to himself. He said, well, you know, Snake, let me go and find Snake and the boys, right? They wouldn't know where to be found. Are you with me? I'm going to go and Dee Dee. Dee Dee ain't even answering her phone. She ain't answering her door. Amen? So this boy is out there now without no money, and he needed a job. And, you know, back then the Jews was against swine. But he found himself working with swine, you know, working with a man who was swine. And he started thinking to himself. He said, you know, my daddy taught me something when I was young. He taught me Christ. He taught me to come on home. He taught me to come back home if things got bad. He taught me this, right? He said that bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I believe the daddy taught his son that. So he know what to do. He came back to his daddy. And his daddy, and the story of it, his daddy was thinking about his son. All the time that son was out in the far country, he was thinking about that son. Are you with me? Because that son was in his heart. He had loved his son. Amen. He didn't give up on his son because, like I said, some kind of how I believe daddy was out in that far country before. Are you with me? So he know about that far country. I'm just saying now, you know, but when that boy came back, it was like daddy was waiting on him. Daddy was hoping that he come back home. And when that boy was far off, daddy was just happened to be out there. He saw his son coming. And instead of daddy waiting for his son to come all the way to him, that daddy ran to his son. When he got to his son, who knows, his son probably ain't had a bath in a while. You know, how many of you ever had pigs? No? No? What? Yeah, so you don't know how they smell?
Yeah.
Huh? They're older now, right? They got old on them now, right? And now his daddy ran to him, and he could have been smelling bad, but it said his daddy ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. That's a good godly daddy. Are you with me? He didn't say, well, son, listen, why did you go, you know, why did you go out there? Why did you do that? You know, you done something foolish, now you're paying for it. But daddy said, kill a fatted calf and get a robe and a ring and we're going to have a celebration because my son is back. Amen? That's that good, godly daddy.
Amen.
Are you with me? I'm glad to see my son was out there. He was out there. Now he's back home. And I'm glad that he's back home. I'm glad about it. He's back home. And it said that his other son, his older son, who had so-called sense, he heard about it. And he came and says, you know, Dad, what you doing? This boy, he, how could you do this, Daddy? This boy was out there spending his money on prostitutes and whatnot. I can't understand it, right? That's an example of people who don't understand how to forgive folks, how to look over certain things. Are you with me? Folks who don't keep stuff for a long time. Amen? Because that daddy had to tell the boy, listen, you were with me all the time. You know, hey, if in other words, if you had went out there and mess up and don't think you can't mess up, I would have do the same thing for you. Are you with me? But because your younger brother messed up, you better be careful who think he standeth lest he fall. Are you with me? And daddy had to tell him, he said, your younger brother was dead, but now he's alive. He was blind, but now he see. Are you with me? And that daddy, he said, come on home. Are you with me? Are you with me? But the son did repent. Now, I missed that. He did repent, and he came on home to his daddy. And what it's telling us, right, that we could go out and mess up, but we got a daddy that we could come to and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. That's God, the Father. Are you with me? You see, Jesus is our brother, you know. He would say, you know, listen, you know, hey, come on, you know. But our Father would accept us, no matter how dirty we are. It ain't no dirt in the world could keep God from the love of God from us. Amen. Amen. Ain't nothing that we could do that could keep God's love from us. Are you with me? The only way God would not be with us is that we leave God. Are you with me? God ain't going to leave us. We leave him. Amen. And that prodigal son's daddy, that was a good daddy. We need more. He was a good godly daddy. We need more. We need more godly daddies. We're overpopulated with bad daddies. We're overpopulated with ugly daddies. Sisters, y'all all right now? Amen? You know, overpopulated with them, with the bad daddies and the ugly daddies. Amen? Enough is enough. And you know, and we could stand here and blame, right? But we got work to do. It's like we were speaking about the children. The children, right? They need that godly daddy, that godly mother. Are you with me? That you see, a good daddy do good things. Yes, they do. They do good things. They feed their children. They clothe them. They house them. They send them to school. But they never tell them about Jesus. You see, a godly daddy will tell their children about Jesus because one day that child will have to leave home. Are you with me? And if he or she leave home not knowing Christ, then he or she gonna turn to something or someone other than Christ. Amen. Now I may not have as many children as some. Amen. But I could tell you what the Bible says. Amen. You know, I could tell you, and all you have to do is go behind me and read what the Bible says. Amen. A good daddy would do good things. I mean, outstanding things for his children. Send them through college, the best colleges, and do good things. But if he don't tell them about Jesus, he ain't really doing nothing. You see? Because you tell them about Jesus, and when they go out, if they fall, they get up like a prodigal son and says, I got a daddy to go. Amen. I got a dad. I could ask, you know, I want to come back home. And daddy would always be there. Someone has put it like this. Wherever you leave God, that's where you'll find him. You know, that's what I heard. Have you heard that? You know, that's what I heard. Wherever you leave God, that's where you would find him. Amen. And in closing, amen, everybody thinks I started smiling when I said that. You know, always started smiling. You know, I think it would be long. And one thing I learned, when you're preaching, if you preach a long sermon, somebody going to miss something. But if you preach a sermon that's short and sweet, that's me now. You know, that's just me. But if you are there for hours, you know, man, come on, you know. Look, you know, but anyway, in closing, an ode to the fathers. And once again, happy Father's Day, all the fathers. When my father didn't have my hand, he had my back. My father gave me a beautiful gift. He believed in me. My father didn't just tell me how to live in love. He showed me how to live in love by how he lived in love. It is a wise father that knows his own child. A father's strength is shown in his love. No matter how tall I get, I still look up to my father. And the greatest gift my father ever gave me was to tell me about Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope something said made you better for having come. I pray that through this message, you know, your life and my life and all our lives would be better. But in closing, also, we have to do something about our children, because one thing, if we don't get to our children, we won't have no future. Amen. We won't have a future. Amen. We fathers, grandfathers, great grandfathers, great great grandfathers. Amen. If you got breath in you, you gotta. Amen. We got some work to do. And if we don't get to the children, we're not going to have a future. If you're here and you're not a member of the church, there's some things you must do. It is a must. You can't get around it. You must hear God's word. You must believe God's word. You must repent of your way and turn to God's way. Amen. You must confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You must be baptized in water for remission of sin. You must stay faithful after that. You must pray. You must worship. You must commune. You must give. You must teach. You must preach. Someone said, you know, well, I'm not a preacher. Yes, you are. I'm not a teacher. Yes, you are. Amen. Your life preaches to others. Now, how it preaches to others, you know, but your life ought to preach a sermon, a godly sermon to other folks. When you go to work, that person is saying, like, something peculiar about this person. You know, we're all in the break room, we're drinking and smoking and whatever else, you know, and this person, he or she is just not like that. It's something, you know, and somebody going to like that, especially if they see it the same all the time. You see, because the Bible never changed, and we ought to never change what the Bible says. Amen? You know? And you must teach classes. You must tell somebody about Christ. It's a must. We can't get around these things. You know, you just can't get around it. It's a must. And if you're here and you are a member of the church, and you have slipped, you know, because some of us have fallen. And we need to get back up. But sometimes it's hard. It seems like it's hard to get up by yourself. But get back up and come to God, just like the prodigal son did. Are you with me? Come back to him. And if it's such, if you're sick, come to God. Ask for prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Ask for prayer. I need prayer. Everybody, please pray for me. I need prayer. Right now, I need prayer. Are you with me? I ain't like I'm all of that. Amen. You know, I got a suit on. Yeah, I like to wear suits. The suit don't make me. I made the suit. Amen. In other words, the suit didn't make me look good. I made the suit look good. Amen. You see? So pray for one another. Pray. Fervent, effectual, fervent prayer availeth much. Be in the pray in position. In other words, if you need prayer, get prayer so you can be able to pray for somebody else. Amen? And I'm going to be quiet right now as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.